Now, on with the show.
This is Mouse World Radio. Bringing the world to your world. This is Walt Disney World Today Live. Call 407-278-5WDW to get on the show. That's 407-278-5939. And now, your host, Matt Hochberg.
Thank you, Mr. Voice. And this live show of WDW Today is being sponsored by AllEars.net, your one-stop shop for Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise Line, and Disneyland. All Ears has menus of all the Walt Disney World restaurants, comprehensive photos of all the resorts, sessions on traveling with special challenges, and more. Be sure to subscribe to All Ears, a weekly email newsletter all about Walt Disney World, and join over 126,000 subscribers who receive a dose of pixie dust in their inbox each week. Visit AllEars.net today. It's Sunday, August 30th, 2010, and this is the live show for August 2010 of WDW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg of StudioCentral.com. Joining me on today's show is Mike Scopa, a senior feature writer and blogger for AllEars.net. Welcome to the show, Mike.
We're live, right?
I think so. Oh, is that the quote?
That's the quote.
Sounds dangerous?
Nope.
Ooh.
I got enough.
It's the president from XS.
Chairman Clench.
Alien encounter.
There's the bell again.
Good old Chairman Clench right there. Also joins on today's show is Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another live show.
Yeah, it's exciting.
I am excited.
Cool. Also joining us on today's show is the fabulous Annette Owens, a manager of customer relations and group services for MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. Welcome, Annette.
Hey, guys. Glad to be here.
And also joining us on today's show is our very special guest. It's Deb Wills of AllEars.net. The Deb Wills. Not the knockoff sometimes we bring on the show. This is the Deb Wills. How are you, Deb?
Wow. I'm great, Matt. I have to find that cheap knockoff, though, you know? They're stealing my thunder.
it doesn't even look like you. It's got a mustache, really. Just not good at all. So we're glad to have the real thing tonight.
Well, I'm really glad to be here. Thank you.
Awesome. And, it's our August live show, which means we're going to be featuring your listener calls, comments. Don't forget to join us in our chat room. You go to WDWtoday.com. You see a link to our chat room. There are lots of people in there already talking about, right now they're talking about whatever they were talking about before the show, but they're going to be starting to be discussing what we're talking about and giving their opinions. It's really a lot of fun to come be a part of the show as well. So we're going to start get things started. We've got our first call of the evening. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Brian Pierce.
Hey, Roy, what can we do for you tonight?
Not good at all. We're glad to have a real thing.
Well, I'm really glad. Who am I speaking with?
You're on with everyone. You should turn down your radio, though, because we can hear that, and it's going to probably mess you up.
Okay. I have three questions for you.
Go ahead.
I have three questions for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Number one, have you eaten at the Rose and Crown pub, Hopcot?
Rose and Crown. I haven't eaten there in a while. Who's eaten there recently at Rose and Crown of the panel?
I haven't in a while.
It's been a while for me, too.
Yeah.
It's been about a year for me.
And what do you think of the pizza at New Antillian restaurant?
You know, the pizza was good. I had it, a couple weeks ago at Via Napoli in Italy. And the pizza was good. It was expensive, though.
Okay.
But if you're going to get the pizza, if there's more than one person and you're looking to share a pizza, you should definitely get that half-meter pizza. I know it's $36, but it's actually a better value than if you got like two small pizzas, which are $16, same price. It's good. I mean, it's finally edible pizza in Walt Disney World. I just wish the price wasn't so high.
But what do you think of the when you eat it at the Rose and Crown restaurant, what do you think of it?
Well, I'm just looking on the All Ears rate and review area, and the last several reviews people have posted have been pretty positive. The last six reviewers have recommended it, ranging in 1 through 10 scale for mostly 8s to 10s. Enjoying the outdoor seating, friendly cast members, atmosphere. I think the only complaint out here is gets very crowded very quickly. Mm.
Okay, when is Captain EO, when will be leaving?
I don't know.
They haven't announced a date yet.
Okay. We'll be there in September?
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Cool. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
407-278-5939. I guess it helps to know if we give the number out ahead of time, right?
Well,
for people to call in.
The usuals know.
Everyone knows what our phone number is.
Yeah, the usuals know the number.
It's 407-278-5939. Next on the line, we've got Karen from Pennsylvania. Hi, Karen.
Karen.
Hi, Matt. How you doing? How am I, Kynet? What's going on, guys?
What's happening?
What's up?
Hi. Nothing much. Hi. Listen, I have a question for you. I was on with on allears.net. And they were telling me about, at the Via Napoli, that there's a limited menu when you're on the dining plan. Did you guys hear anything on that?
We've been hearing, this is Deb, we've been hearing a lot of, I have to call them rumors because I can't get anything consistent about certain places. Nine Dragons was one, and Teppanito is another one that has a limited menu if you're on the dining plan. I can't get anything official from Disney, and I can tell you during my last trip in July, I wasn't on the dining plan, but I asked at every restaurant, and the only thing I think was not on the regular dining plan was lobster at Narcoossee's, which is so unusual.
But yeah, because people... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, but some of our readers are telling us there is, but it's very sporadic and anecdotal at this point.
Yeah, because the person that was on All Ears had stated it depended on the cast member. One cast member said, yes, there was a limited dining plan. One person said, no, you could get anything off of the menu.
Are you
on
the...
We're going down at the end of October.
Where in All Ears were you reading this? Is this on the Facebook page?
No, right on the All Ears website, where it says Ask Anita, I guess her name is.
Well, the Anita information, if you check the date, is old. Anita sadly left All Ears a couple of years ago now and is flying around the world into Dr. T, Cardiff, I forget what it is, but she still loves Disney, but is on to other adventures, and so the information, if you were reading Ask Anita, is outdated at this point.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because we're going down in October, and we made reservations for there, and we want to try it out. And
absolutely.
The pizza, how is the pizza? I heard mixed things on that, too.
I thought the pizza was very good. It was very tasty. I like that thin crust brick oven style pizza. It's prevalent in the Northeast, I think. It was good. It's definitely edible pizza. It's not that garbage they've been claiming as pizza at Walt Disney World for many years. And I mentioned in the last call, Karen, you're probably on the phone trying to get through. So, but the issue was that it's expensive.
Yeah. Well, with us being on the dining plan, I'm not too worried about that. But when you make reservations at Via Napoli, Matt, do they ask you if you want to sit inside or outside, or do you get your choice, or do they just put you where they have an opening?
I'm sure they would give you an option for it. You may have to wait longer for an inside table than an outside table, depending on the season, but more than likely you could always ask for whatever choice, and you know, you just may have to wait a little longer.
Okay. Well, congratulations, by the way, Matt.
Oh, thank you, Karen.
Okay. Well, you guys have a great day.
Great. Thanks, Karen.
All righty.
Bye, Karen.
Bye-bye.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. I was trying to type in chat, and then I was talking to Karen. But if anyone's actually tried the Via Napoli on the dining plan, to give us a call tonight. We'd love to hear your thoughts and you know, make sure they did take it, you know, and any nuances or whatever. But always good to hear some feedback. 407-278-5939 is our phone number. And we have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Yes, my name is Jay. I'm from Snow Camp, North Carolina.
Hey, Jay.
Well, thanks for taking the time to do this. We really appreciate it. I know I've been learning a lot from you guys and enjoy it.
Oh, thank you for listening, Jay.
I got a question for you amongst a couple other questions. What we all just want to know, what is going on with Pecos Bills? I mean, we all know how to really pronounce it, but you seem to be like really convinced that you just need to hang on to Pecos Bills. So what's the story?
It sounds right to me, and gosh darn it, that must mean it's right.
I was just curious. We got a kick out of that. And I was going to also tell you, though, as much as I'm going to give you some flack for that, I got to tell you, I am right there with you on Dinosaur.
That's
the first time we went down there in, like, 99. I've waited in line and for Dinosaurs. Thought it was going to be this great ride. All it did was scare me half to death and slam me around like I was in a wrestling match. And I did. I want you to know, I'm another grown man who did this. I closed my eyes, plugged my ears, and waited for it to be over.
That's Colin pulling the mat.
Exactly. I just want you to know, you're not alone. I literally did that. I don't want another minute of this. Get me out of this thing. So anyways, I also want to tell y'all, I just finished listening to yesterday to Scopa's Vacation. That was a fantastic episode. I really, really enjoyed that. I just wanted to tell y'all.
Hey Jay, I did get to ride Dinosaur, and every time I go into Dinosaur, I think of Matt. But what real was kind of funny with the ride that the time that I went on it is, do you know the part of the attraction where you're on the ride and you hear them yelling, "We're not going to make it! We're not going to make it!"
Yeah.
And when we heard that, the attraction broke down and everything stopped. And everybody in the vehicle looked at each other and said, "I guess we're not going to make it."
Part of the show. So that was really a terrific episode. I thoroughly enjoyed that. That was really neat to hear some of those details. And Mike, I just want you to know how legendary you are. I called maybe a year or two ago, Mouse Fan Travel, and got reservations, and I just told them reservations for Scopa Towers, and they knew which place I was talking
no
about.
Way.
So yes, I never said Pop Century. I only ever said Scopa Towers, and I was curious, and when I got it back, it was Pop Century. So your legend is expanding. Of course, you've been around long enough, so you have enough time for your legend too.
Whoa!
So here's a question I have for about the train family at Magic Kingdom. Is there any way that y'all have ever heard of where you can? How do you get to be that family that opens the park on the train? Is it just get there as early as possible and hope that you run into a cast member or what?
I know at the other parks that's how it works. Like the studios in Epcot, it's just, you know, they look for a family who's waiting right by the turnstiles, you know, when usually the person who gets their family gets there early.
Okay.
And they just pick it that way. I'm not sure what the Magic Kingdom is. I don't know if anyone has any.
Well, it probably helps to have a family of four and, you know, maybe a one child under 10 and maybe another child right around 10. And maybe, you know, it's nice to have that type of family there, Jay. You know, you need to have that image. I think that helps.
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. We're going down in January, and my daughter's actually, her birthday's actually going to be on one of the days we're there. So staying at Bay Lake Tower, and I'm just thinking about getting up ridiculously early and just walking over to the gate and just sitting there until I see somebody and then get the family over there. I thought that'd be, if possible, a fantastic birthday sort of thing. So I don't know if that's possible, but anyways,
I don't know if it helps, but the time I saw somebody picked, they actually had T-shirts on as a family that said pick me," and they were picked.
That's funny. That's clever.
Great.
So,
they don't mind if you're desperate.
I don't know. At least not that day.
What are the equivalents at the other parks? You know, in terms of like getting to be that train family.
At the studios, there's a family that's picked. They get to open the studios. They go in they're chosen. They go in one of the vehicles that the Citizens of Hollywood drive in, and then they kind of like it's like they're the gimmick is that they're they're going to do a movie shoot, and the family are the stars of the film.
Okay. Oh, neat. That's fun. Are there any others for either of the other two? Do you know?
In Epcot, they've been bringing out test track vehicles. And the family of the day gets to ride around and open the park and have their photo taken with some characters.
Oh, wow. That's fascinating. Those are pretty cool. I did make one mistake when we went last year. Getting up early in the morning, we went and did morning extra magic hours at Animal Kingdom. And I'm sure Lynn would have more to say about it if he were there. But we did morning extra magic hours there. And I don't know that I'll ever do that again. It was an automatic 30-minute wait for Kilimanjaro Safaris.
Wow.
I mean, it was shocking. I mean, within 3 minutes of park opening, it was 30-minute wait of Kilimanjaro Safari. So that was just wild. And I have one last question that I'll get off the phone. I wondered if you might take a minute to answer. What are the most ridiculous things you've ever overheard or seen? I remember hearing a story you know, just nutty things you've heard or seen people do in the parks. One time I heard a story. Did you hear Van of the NetCon podcast said that? I just love this. He said one time that he saw somebody look up at above the People Mover. It was sponsored by Alamo. And he said, sponsored by Alamo. And I actually heard somebody say that. I was wondering if y'all have ever just heard some ridiculous things said or even seen. So thanks for letting me call in. I'll hang up and listen off the air. We're grateful for the time you guys spend for this. It's a lot of fun.
Thank you, Jay.
Thanks so much, Jay.
Go ahead, Mike.
I don't know if it's ridiculous, Jay, if you're listening. This was maybe about 2 or 3 years ago, and it was kind of weird. There was this family behind me. I think it was the Magic Kingdom. And there was a young boy, and he asked his mother, where's the Harry Potter ride? And she said, just a minute, and I'll look in the map. So, I mean, what that told me was, you know, these people came, and they really did not do their research. They did not know, you know, the difference between Universal and Walt Disney World. It was funny, but it was sad at the same time.
Yeah. Jay mentioned something that Van had said, and I thought it was going for this one, but actually Van had mentioned that he overheard a family in Epcot. You know, when you're walking in and you see the you know, those photos that are on the monoliths over there?
The Legacy.
I believe Legacy, right. And someone asked, you know, some little kid asked, Mommy, what are those for? And she responded, oh, that's for all the people that died at Disney World.
Wow.
What?
Whoa. I've actually been behind somebody that said that, too. So,
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always funny. Let's go back to the phone lines. Lots more calls. 407-278-5939 is our number. And we have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
My name's Carol.
Hey, Carol. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Delaware, Ohio.
Delaware, Ohio. Cool. What's on your mind tonight?
My husband and I are planning our 25th wedding anniversary, and we wanted some suggestions on some places to go. We've never gone without the kids before.
Okay.
Congratulations, first of all.
Well, I would say Narcoossee's would be one of those restaurants that I would think about. California Grill would be another one. The reason why I say that, Carol, is because I think it would be a very nice experience. It would be a very elegant dinner, and you'd also have the opportunity to see wishes from either restaurant. Mm-hmm. So those would be my top two, and then I'll turn it over to – I'll ask Deb to take a shot at this.
Well, if you want to be a little adventurous and you enjoy wines, I would definitely recommend Gico over at Animal Kingdom Lodge. It's actually not as different food-wise as you would think. You can always get filet, but they have outstanding and very different kind of menu with subtle spices and flavors, and probably one of the best South African wine lists on the East Coast. Other than that, I love Narcoossee's. Like Mike said, people in the chat room are recommending Victoria and Albert's, which would be your most exquisite dining experience if you really want a quiet, romantic, multi-course dinner, really splurge. That would be the place to go.
What about the Flying Fish?
That was about to come out of my mouth next. I love the Flying Fish. It is a little noisier in there. You know, you have to sort of gauge what are you looking for. Do you want quiet and romantic? Places like Artist Point, Victoria and Albert's are going to be quieter. California Grill has an open kitchen. Gico has the open kitchen. They're going to be a little bit louder. Flying Fish also has the open kitchen, but they're excellent dining opportunities, and they have a wide range of appetizers, entrees, desserts. So I don't think you can go wrong with any of those.
And another thing we were thinking about, is it possible if you get the first reservation in the morning at the Crystal Palace, can you have your picture taken in front of the castle?
Oh, yeah.
When there's nobody there? I mean, we thought that would be a great opportunity for the anniversary as well.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Are the photo pass photographers there early like that? You might have to get another guest to take your photo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a great point, Deb. I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about it in general. But yeah, you're right. They're probably not going to be photo pass people there. But, you know, at least you can get someone to take your photo with your own camera.
Okay, that'd be great. Are there any other activities that you would suggest? Like, we've thought about doing a carriage ride.
Yeah, the carriage rides are fun. I did one in Fort Wilderness a couple of years ago, and that was a lot of fun. It's really nice, something very romantic. Certainly, with no kids there, it'll be you can do it with the kids also. But it's a nice thing to do. There's a lot of the deluxe tours have a lot of great activities. You check those out. I know on All Ears Net, Deb's got lots of information about the sort of amenities that you have at the the safari stuff at Animal Kingdom Lodge to the to the different various activities you've got at Fort Wilderness to really all the other. It seems like all the deluxe resorts really have something. The water rental, craft rental. So there's quite a bit to choose from. It really depends. You can also do the tours. There's lots of great tours to take advantage of at Walt Disney World. Mm-hmm. The Segway tours.
Which one would you say is the best?
Ooh, which one is the best?
Again, it kind of depends what you're looking for. I love the Fort Wilderness Segway tour. You're on different Segways, the outdoor ones, and you get to see a lot of Fort Wilderness riding around the park. That was a very neat experience. I actually had gone to places on the tour I had not been before in Fort Wilderness. And, wow, I love the tours at Animal Kingdom if you're into the animals and landscaping. We get, I don't know how many times you've been to Disney or how much you know about Disney history, but people rave about Keys to the Kingdom, which is a half-day tour in the Magic Kingdom. I would also say you might want to consider a pontoon rental for Illuminations or for Wishes. Those are also really fun things to do. They cost a little bit more, but very nice.
Okay.
Cool.
All right, sounds great.
Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Have a great time.
Congratulations.
407-278-5939 is the number. And let's go to Jennifer in Nebraska. Hi, Jennifer.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Jennifer.
Standing.
Wonderful. Hey, I'm just calling to find out. We're going to Disney World, until next year. We're part of the free dining process.
Okay.
And so this is the first time we've done that. So, we're looking at a couple of different places, and one of the things we were lucky enough to do was actually move up our resort. We're Scopa Towers people, and we're actually going to try Riverside this time for part of the free dining process.
Nice.
Cool.
Yes, as we're actually kind of looking forward to it. We love Scopa Towers, but this will be a nice little change of pace, I think, for us. And so one of the questions that I have is boat rights. Is this something we want to try? With Pop Century, we're never actually, that counter Mickey waffles kind of food. And Riverside Boat Rights, is that a good place to try for a meal, or is that something we need to pass on?
Jennifer, this is Mike Scopa. I think that Boat Rights is one of the, I think it's one of the more underrated restaurants, at least for me. I like the spicy. There are some spicy entrees there, which I like, and I've gone there a couple times over the past year. I really like it. I don't think that the food court is as diversified as Pop Century, so you'll see a difference there. But I recommend Boat Rights. I think it's a very nice restaurant. It's not the greatest one down there, but it's definitely in the top third, I think.
Okay, now that's like there's jambalaya, which is one of the things my husband noticed, and he kind of gave me that look of, is this going to be any good? Because he really likes that hot, spicy jambalaya. And so his question was, is this going to be one of those Disney-fied calmer jambalayas, or is this really going to be something that he's going to say, hey, this is pretty good?
If your husband likes spicy hot, like I like spicy hot, let me recommend.
He loves spicy hot.
That you go to the Fountain in the Dolphin restaurant and you order the buffalo chicken salad. I think that he'll really enjoy it. And when you go, promise me that you'll send me an email and tell me how much you like this.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's one of those people that actually made a jambalaya here at home and the kids got kind of talked to by the teachers at school because it was so hot. They could smell it in the coats. So, yeah, he likes the spice. And he's, at Disney, they Disney-fy everything and make it for, a common denominator.
And well, they want to make it right in the middle of the road. I mean, they want to hit the larger universe. There aren't that many of us who like the real, real hot stuff. So they need to cater to the larger portion of their guests. And it's understandable. They need to, for business. So.
And Jennifer,
oh, yeah, that's totally.
I was going to say, Jennifer, make sure if you're staying at Riverside to go check out Yeehaw Bob one night.
You know, if my husband was asking my husband, is he kind of an every night thing, or is he just, no. You know, if you happen to get lucky enough on Thursday night as you're walking through?
I think he's Wednesday through Saturday, right? Wednesday night through Saturday night?
I think so. He does some. He performs also at the Gaylord Palms some nights. His show started at 8 o'clock. You want to get there early. If you show up late, it's first of all, you may be a spectacle. Second of all, you won't get the jokes. It won't be as entertaining. So make sure you get there, you know, well, get there like 7:30, grab a table, and okay. I think you'll really enjoy it.
Yes, he absolutely loves the musical aspect that, you know, Disney has. So he was kind of curious about that.
I'm sorry? Yeah.
I missed that.
Last question, Jennifer. Sorry.
Sorry about that. So he just loves all that music stuff, and so he was kind of curious about the Yeehaw Bob, too, if it was an every night or Wednesday through Saturday. So we'll be sure to put that down on our list of things that we have to do on certain days.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Bob is very good. He's very talented. I mean, I think that a lot of people don't realize how real good of a musician he is. He's really, really good.
Oh, yeah.
And he knows how to work that room. Awesome. He's so unbelievably good at that.
Always Wednesday through Saturday. So yeah, right.
Oh, I was right.
Okay, and then I've heard horror stories about the bus system down there. Now, we are planning on driving. Is this something that we need to steer clear of with the busing? Because, you know, with Pop Century own bus system, and they're actually fairly regular down there at Scopa Towers. Is that the same kind of deal at Riverside? Are we looking at long waits and packed buses, you know, all that kind of thing?
I've always found the buses at Riverside to be average, I would say. It's not bad like Saratoga Springs or Animal Kingdom Lodge by any means. It's not the best bus service in the world. Like, I'm sure you could probably pick a resort or two. I think Pop Century does have really good bus service.
Yeah, they do.
But I don't think it's anywhere that I would say, whoa, you guys definitely have to have a car and don't even try it. But it's, you know, it's Disney bus system, so, you know, take it or leave it.
If you have your own car.
Yeah, those are Disney buses, so I'm not expecting perfection at all, but, you know.
Right. If I have my own car, I'm driving everywhere except the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, great point, Mike.
That's what we've done. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, Jennifer, this is Deb. I just wanted to mention to you that a couple months ago, Jack Spence spent some time at Port Orleans Riverside. He's got a pretty comprehensive blog, and it's dated May 4th. And also as part of the blog, we've got videos of the rooms of Yeehaw Bob and of the resort itself. So it might give you a pretty good flavor for the resort and give you some more ideas about where you're staying. Also, you were looking, I think, for some romantic ideas and taking a walk from Riverside over the French Quarter or taking the boat ride to Downtown Disney in the evening is free and a very nice thing to do as well.
Okay, we will get back to that. And for a previous caller, she was talking about a romantic place for their anniversary. We went just for our anniversary without the children back in March, and Narcoosie's was a fantastic restaurant. We got actually memory menus to take home with us, a special note across the top. We got each got a free glass of champagne. Very romantic, very sweet, and our server went out of his way as soon as he knew it was an anniversary trip. So, yeah, they work real hard at Narcoosie's, at least for us, to make it a really special night. So that I just wanted to pass that on.
Oh, cool.
Awesome.
Well, thanks a lot, guys, and I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Bye.
407-278-5939. And let's go to Jan from Michigan. Hi, Jan.
Yes, hi. Who's this?
This is Len Testa. How are you?
Len, hi. Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I'm sorry about that. Hey, I've got a few questions about our upcoming trip. We're flying down on New Year's, and we'll be there a few days before we go on a Disney cruise.
Oh, nice.
So most of my questions have to do with actually being in the parks during such a crazy time. You have the crowd calendar as showing on January 2nd that it's going to be a 3.1 in the Magic Kingdom. Can that actually be true?
Yeah, Len.
All right, Jen, I was having some fun with you. This is actually Matt. Len's not on the show today. But
oh, hey, you guys can answer. You guys are mean.
Yeah, what was the date on that, Jen?
This is January 2nd.
January 2nd is the last hurrah of Christmas and New Year's. And then it's like January 3rd, it drops to like a 1 or something like that, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
So, yeah, it will be – let me look up the date real quick here. I see what day of the week it is. But January, it's really weird because, yeah, January 2nd is that Sunday, and then Monday is January 3rd. And Monday will be a ghost town over there. And Sunday, you'll still have some elevated crowds, but I think most people are leaving on that day. It's still going to be a crowded day, but it's going to be that's really the tail end of it.
It's also the last weekend with the decorations.
We're leaving for our cruise on Monday, but we're going to be staying, you know, during that crazy crowded weekend. So when I saw that the numbers were so low on that Sunday, I got really excited.
Yeah, it's interesting that the weekend. You said something, Newell, about that weekend.
That's the last weekend before they take the decorations down, the Christmas decorations. So probably all the locals are going to be, you know, hanging out that weekend too.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, Mike, will there still be music in the bushes?
So there's always music in the bushes.
Christmas music.
Oh, yeah, that comes down with the decorations. I think that should stop around the 4th or the 5th.
Okay. Oh, that's so awesome.
Really?
Yeah. And
so, I'm sorry, Mike.
No, go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to ask Jan, so when are you going on your cruise? What date?
It's Monday the 3rd. It's a 5-day holiday cruise, and it was really cheap, so we just thought it would be an awesome opportunity.
The reason why I asked that is that when you get to the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th, that's when the Walt Disney World Marathon weekend approaches, and that's when the crowds will build up again.
Oh, okay. So this is just a good little niche to get in there, huh?
It is.
Yeah, I'm looking. Newell was right. The January 3rd is the last day. It's the last day of the Osborne lights. So the 4th, it'll go back to being regular Disney in terms of the music. I would assume. Obviously, the lights will still be up, but they'll be taking it down. So you'll probably be all set for when you first get there.
Okay. Do you guys know if Epcot's Lights of Winter are going to be there this year?
I don't know. It's some tough technology over there. Yeah. It's hard to implement bulbs.
Wasn't that the lamest excuse ever?
it's right up there. I haven't heard anything. Scope, have you heard anything?
No, and I'm ready to start a campaign to bring them back. I'm hoping that that was just a one-year thing. Uh-huh. I haven't heard anything. I'm trying to find out as much as I can because I just loved watching. Well, actually, the Lights of Winter and, you know, the trestle. I call it the trestle. It was really, really surrealistic. And I know that a lot of people were disappointed, and I know that a lot of people complained, but I'm hoping that there's something waiting in the wings that will be just as good, if not better.
Oh, I hope so, because it was so pretty. Like, we'd watch the Lights of Winter, and then we'd watch the fountains, and you'd just go back and forth. It was just mesmerizing.
It was one of my favorite things as well. This is Deb, and I'm really that it got taken down. A few months back, I was at an event, and Dan Cockrell, who's the vice president of Epcot, was there. I've seen him twice this year, and at both events, he was asked very specifically about the Lights of Winter. I think he's become aware, if he wasn't already, of the fact that it was a fan favorite. He just said that they were working on other things and really wouldn't commit to whether anything would be out this year or not. But based on what he did say, it sounded really, really doubtful to me we'd see Lights of Winter again.
Oh.
I know. Made me sad.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sad. Well, I hope something else good comes. I have one more question. What's the best way to get from – we'll be staying at Saratoga Springs, and what's the best way to get from Saratoga Springs to the Disney cruise to Port Canaveral?
You mean driving?
Well, no, we won't be renting a car. So should we take the Disney shuttle or should we take like a private limousine company?
Kind of depends on your budget. When I can, I like being in my own town car. You know, it's a really nice drive to the port, but because it's much further away, it's going to be more expensive than the airport. The bus is a good economical way to go, but again, you're with a lot of people. And I'm not sure, maybe, Annette, do you know how the luggage works if you take the Disney Cruise bus? Is it sort of like Magical Express where you may or may not get your things when you get there? Or does the bus automatically check them in for you? Do you know how that works?
If you're staying in a resort, they'll pick up your luggage. there at the resort, and then you can go enjoy breakfast, do whatever, and then get on the bus. I think that's the one thing about taking Disney transfers over to the port. They're a little later in the day. So if you're one of those people that want to be at the port when it opens, you don't want to take Disney transportation.
Okay. We've only done one cruise before, and we took the shuttle from the airport. This time we're staying at the resort.
Okay. Well, you know, I think it's just like Annette said. It's a matter, and Deb, it's a matter of your what you're willing to spend and what your preferences are.
Great. Well, thank you so much for all your help.
Anytime. Len is always here to help.
Yeah, Mike, start that group for Lights of Winter. We got to get that back.
I'm working
Thanks,
on
Jan.
It.
407-278-5939 is our number. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Mickey.
Hey, Nikki, what's up?
It's Mickey, like...
Oh, Mickey.
Mickey. Hi. From Massachusetts.
Mickey, your voice has changed.
It's not quite so high-pitched, is it?
Nope. What's on your mind tonight, Mickey?
We are new DVC members. And
welcome home.
We are taking the opportunity for our last free dining hurrah and not using our DVC membership this September. My question is, I read that the week following Labor Day is a pretty good week to go.
Yeah.
But with the free dining plan, is it not going to be quite as uncrowded as typical?
I don't think September's always a good month to go just because the crowds are lower than other months. I mean, you're going to have some tough times getting an ADR somewhere, perhaps. But
we've got those all taken care of.
I mean, I wouldn't.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, then I think September's a great time of the year. I mean, Annette, what are your thoughts on it?
No, it's definitely a great time to go. And especially, I've been in the park on Labor Day, and it's amazing how empty it felt at the Magic Kingdom. So I think you're going to have a great time. Again, you've got your dining already set, so I think you're going to have a great time.
Excellent. We talked another couple into going with us for the first part of the week. And, of course, we have to have all four of us on the reservation for the entire 10 days. So we have two people there that are leaving after 4 days, and that leaves a lot of dining credits. So
a lot of food for you to eat. Wow.
We have a lot of good reservations at the California Grill and Citrico's and Hollywood Brown Derby so that we can use them up and eat well before we start, you know, sharing food when we have the next reservations under DVC.
Awesome.
My other question was about Wi-Fi. We are staying at French Quarter, and I'm thinking I'm requesting Building 7. Does that make sense?
Scuba?
I would say I like building 5, but 7 can work.
5, excellent. Do they have Wi-Fi during the whole resort?
I don't think so.
I don't believe so. No, and the high speed internet connection is probably not where you'd want it to be in those rooms too.
Yeah.
So
you can barely get a cell signal sometimes.
Yeah.
I said sometimes point, you can Mike. Barely get a cell signal in some of the rooms.
So the iPad's not going to work very well there.
Probably.
If you stand by the window.
Yeah, you got to stand. Yeah, and that's right. You got to stand near the door or out in the
hall. Are there any of the other resorts that you can go and just if we need to log in for internet service and pay the one-day fee that we should go to?
Well, at any of the resorts, you can pay a one-day fee for the internet, or I think it's 24 hours.
Right.
There's none that have Wi-Fi that I'm aware of. The other thing I want to recommend, if you're talking about electronics, is make sure you bring one of those small multi-plug strips with you.
Definitely.
Make sure you get a new one and a good one so it's not going to short out the electricity. But, you know, with two or more people and you got cell phones and if you have a laptop or iPod, pad, whatever, you're going to want that multi-plug.
What month is Tentfest going to be next year, Matt?
We're not doing Tentfest next year. It's kind of been done, but we are planning something, and we will have more details on that very soon.
Excellent. Good. Well, thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for calling in, Mickey.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Bye, pal.
Yeah, Annette didn't want to do Tentfest anymore.
What? No, Tentfest. Look, anybody that had to sleep outside on the cold... We did it.
We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Lee from Houston.
Hey, Lee.
Hey, Lee.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Are we on? Or?
You're
yeah,
on.
What can we do for you?
Oh. On the air.
I got a quick question or a couple. I'm heading to Disney in spring break. We've done Christmas and we've done summer, so we decided why not do all the busy seasons and do spring break too. We're traveling with some friends, and we're staying 5 days in the park, but they only want to stay 4 days. They want to leave a day early to get back home. And I was looking, trying to kind of do an itinerary for the 4 days, and according to the crowd calendar, the best days would be to basically be in the studios for 3 days. So we're trying to figure out what to do that first day, and we'd definitely be in the studios the second day because of the Fantasmic. But Wednesday and Thursday, Magic Kingdom, Thursday is the do not go to Magic Kingdom day.
Right. Monday and Thursdays.
Trying to figure out a schedule to where we can kind of see everything, and this is their first trip, so want them to definitely be able to see as much as they can.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the first question would be on that Monday, the 14th, everything's a 10. Animal Kingdom is the park to avoid. But
on Monday? Really?
Monday the 14th?
Really? Okay.
March 14th?
That's the park that I would have recommended, Lee.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too, is get it in half a day, you know, kind of break them in, so to speak, let them see what it's about, but don't throw the Magic Kingdom on them the first day.
Right. Could you tell us what you're going to be there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday?
For those Monday four? The 14th, Tuesday the 15th, 16th, 17th. They'll drive home the 18th, and we'll stay another day.
Yeah, traditionally, Monday and Thursdays are really tough days at Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So my recommendation would be, I would say go to the Magic Kingdom on Tuesday.
Okay.
Go to Epcot on Wednesday and go to the studios on Thursday. And then I'll have my colleagues chime in and see how they feel about that suggestion.
Yeah, that's, I think it's a good idea, Mike. I would also just add, Lee, that if you're a subscriber to touringplans.com, you can check the crowd calendar over there. That's always a good place to start, you know, in terms of the best park for the day and just has an outline and then kind of build it around what your needs are.
Yeah. I kind of figured if we're going to do the touring plans, we would just kind of go where we wanted to go anyway.
That makes sense.
But also, Lee, you know, if you're staying on the property, make use of magic, extra magic hours, especially right. If there's an extreme extra magic hour evening. I would really highly recommend that.
Okay.
Hey, don't forget about the lines application either, because that will really help you out.
Yeah, we're going to test that out, too. This is the first year we've been back in about 3 years, so a lot of new stuff to check out. The other question I had was, we were thinking about doing one night with just the adults and going someplace for dinner, leaving the kids with a babysitter. And we were thinking California Grill, but just want to see if you guys have any other suggestions. I've heard mixed reviews on California Grill. But we wanted to do something where we could see the fireworks.
Well, if you want to see fireworks with dinner, it's hard to beat California Grill.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the best. The only other place I can think of is Narcoossee's has a really nice deck outside the restaurant. Okay. If you have a window table, you can see them from there. Otherwise, you can go out on the deck.
Okay.
Yeah, that might be the only other place.
Yeah.
And there's all, you know, worst comes to worst, you could go to Ohana's and then you could watch them from the beach.
We were going to do that for sure, but we thought we'd have the kids there for that.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, so just for the adults, we thought California Grill would be a little more appropriate. And, you know, not that the kids wouldn't like it, but it's probably, if you're going to go somewhere just for adults, probably that's a better choice.
Right. Cool. Okay. All right. Thanks for calling in, Lee. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
407-278-5939 is our number. Plenty of opportunity for you to get your call. And don't forget to join us in our chat room, wgwtoday.com. And, Newell, people in chat room are saying that they love watching you and your cat.
Yeah, he's sitting on my lap, so we're having a fun time doing the show.
How sweet. You know, too much to do to watch the webcam and the chat and everything else.
I know.
Well, how cute the cat's with you. It's got to be cute.
He's really in charge. I work for him.
So when we get cut off, we'll blame it on the cat?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Ron.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, Ron.
How are you doing?
Standing. What can we do for you tonight?
First of all, I wanted to tell you guys are my favorite podcast, Disney podcast. For one reason, actually more than one reason, but you all seem to have one foot in Disney World and one foot in the real world. You're very practical with all your advice.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
The only way to be, Ron.
Let you guys know that, you know. Of course, the dessert guy, that lemon jello guy, he's the romantic podcaster. You guys are the practical podcasters.
Thank you. I think.
Yeah, that's what that's a compliment.
Okay.
That's a backhanded one, but it is a definite compliment.
No, seriously. Thank you, Ron. Appreciate it.
Okay. My wife and I are going to Walt Disney World the week after Labor Day, next week, as a matter of fact, to celebrate my 50th birthday and celebrate the fact that my wife and I have lost 285 pounds together in the last year and a half.
Wow.
Good for you. Congratulations.
Great. Nice.
And got a couple of questions. First of all, in the unofficial guide, you guys recommend for Casey's Corner to just keep going. I read a really nice magazine article about it, and as a baseball fan, I really would be interested in it. I'm wondering, is it really something that needs to be skipped, or is it worth the stop?
It used to be really good. It used to be a favorite, Ron. And then they changed the hot dogs to this chicken-beef combo, which is really lame in my estimation. And it's expensive also. You're paying like $6 for a hot dog. If you want to stop in, you absolutely should. There is some great classic baseball references. There's a whole backstory about it that's based on the Casey at Bat. You know, you're familiar with that poem or limerick or whatever that is.
Right.
And it's pretty cool from that aspect. Just to be able to they have these little like mini grandstands you can sit in and watch the old time Disney cartoons about baseball. That's kind of interesting. So I would say it's definitely worth checking. Maybe go in there and grab, you know, some French fries and a soda and just kind of enjoy the ambiance. But unfortunately, I'm just not as big of a fan of it since they changed over that menu.
Okay. Yeah, because I know there's a lot of baseball references with it because it starts with the 1888 address. That's the year the Casey at the Bat poem was published. So
yep,
I know there's a lot of inferences there as far as the history.
Oh, yeah. You'll see there's a scoreboard and it says Mudville, you know, whatever their score is, and visitors. And there's a lot of references. There's a great blog entry. I want to say it's on 2719 Hyperion, that blog. They go through the whole backstory, all the references. Really, really good job.
Okay. Now, another question. We're studying at Pop Century, and this might seem like a strange question, but I haven't been able to verify. Are there, since it's multi-floor buildings, are there elevators at Pop Century? Is there not?
Yes. Yes, there are. Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. It didn't seem impractical that there wouldn't be, but I wanted to make sure about that. And are any of you going to be in the parks the week after Labor Day?
Not me.
I will not.
Yeah.
I'll be in Disneyland.
I don't plan to be, but I never know.
And then the last question, and I'll give you a little bit of an explanation on this question if you want to know, but I'll just ask the question right out. Is there any way to see the Main Street Electrical Parade from outside the Magic Kingdom from any point of view?
Other than maybe catching it on the monorail going by?
Ooh, stop the monorail.
Yeah. You get a glimpse of it.
The reason I ask is it's playing the afternoon or the evening that we arrive, and we're going to be driving like 13 hours to get there. And it's after that, it's not going to be run the rest of the time we're there. And I was with the big buildup of the summer Nightastic and all the podcasts I've listened to and the video I've watched, I really wanted to see it. But after driving 13 hours and we only have a 3-day pass for our parks, I don't want to waste it by just going into the park and just watching the parade. And I was wondering if there might be a vantage point anywhere where you might be able to catch at least a little bit of it.
I'm not aware of any.
No.
Okay, I didn't think there was, but I thought maybe somebody who was an insider who had been there may have had some kind of experience like that. All right, and the last thing I wanted to say here is in June, I called your June live show with a couple of trip planning questions as far as cost, and you guys helped me work out the math, and then I wound up getting a quote from Stephanie at Mouse Fan Travel. I got a quick turnaround. It was a holiday weekend when I sent the email, and I got the best deal that included the free dining and I booked the same day that I got the quote, and I just wanted to thank Mouse Fan Travel for the great service.
Ding!
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much, and happy birthday, Stephanie.
Yeah, Stephanie's birthday today.
Woo!
Happy birthday, Stephanie. Okay, guys, thanks a lot.
Thank you. 407-278-5939. Lots of calls. Don't worry if you're not getting through. Plenty of time in the show to get your calls in. Let's go to our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, it's Lindsay from Springfield, Illinois.
Hey, Lindsay, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Outstanding. What can we do for you tonight?
Well, we have a question. We are planning, actually, two trips, one in October and one in November. And our question revolves around Wednesday, November 10th. Now, we've been trying to plan our days in what park on what day, and we were hoping to do Epcot that day. However, the crowd calendar per park lists that as like a 9.6. And so we didn't know if there was something going on that day that we didn't know about.
It's
and why
the
excuse.
Day before Veterans Day. Some people may make it a long weekend.
Well,
that's,
I mean, the rest of the days in the park look really low. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, even if that's like a 1 on the park crowd calendar.
It's, you know, I mean, we can't comment that much on the crowd calendar because, you know, Len's not here on it. But, you know, with the crowd calendar, you just got to go with a good touring plan. It doesn't matter what day, even if it's Christmas Day. Don't, you know, don't freak, you know, don't feel like, oh, it's going to be, you know, this impossible situation for yourself. Just make sure you get to the park right for park opening and, you know, have a good touring plan. I think you'll be okay.
Well, that's kind of what we've decided we were going to do. We were just going to stick with it and just, oh.
Yeah, absolutely. The best thing, I think, is just to be flexible. You know, if you get there and it is lower than expected, that's awesome. You have a great day planned. If you find that the crowds are more than you were looking for, you can always, you know, go to another park if you have a park hopper.
Okay, well, that's what we'll do then.
Cool. Thanks very much for calling.
Thanks so much.
407-278-5939 is our number. Let's go to our next caller. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, it's Mike in McLean, Virginia.
Hiya, Mike.
How's it going?
Good. How are you, Mike?
I just want to say I'm a big fan of you guys. Definitely my favorite podcast that I listen to.
Oh,
you guys
thanks,
keep
Mike.
A great, keep a great rhythm and keep it tight and flowing, and that's my favorite part of the show.
Thank you.
Awesome.
I had a couple questions about Fantasmic. I'm going to be down there in early to mid-December, right after Reunion, unfortunately, but... I'm going to be on my Animal Kingdom day. I'm planning to hop over to the studios to do Fantasmic, which starts at 6:30 that day. And my first question is, how early do they open the seating and actually let you go in and sit down?
I believe it's 2 hours ahead of time for the first show.
Oh, wow. Okay. My next question is, would it be feasible to get food from any of the counter service restaurants and carry it in and eat it while we wait?
Absolutely.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if they had, you know, I've only ever seen trays there. Never seen anybody do carry-out bags or anything like that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I've done that a time. It's probably the better option because the food that they have in the theater is nothing special, so.
Yeah. Any recommendations?
It's a good question. I mean, obviously the food in Sunset Boulevard over there in the Anaheim produce area is the closest and the most convenient. If you're feeling... energetic, you could go from somewhere a little further away and bring it over. I actually like the new food menu they have at Min and Bill's Dockside Diner. They have Italian sausage and peppers, it's a hot dog in a pretzel roll, and some other type wrap type thing. And it's actually pretty good. I had it for New Year's, I think. Yeah, with New Year's. I tried it with a couple other people that we were waiting for the fireworks, and I thought it was pretty good. And that might be good food to bring into Fantasmic. It's pretty transportable. It's not like you have to do like the, you know, balance it perfectly. Otherwise, it'll all spill all over. It doesn't make a huge mess. So it might be a good option also.
Yeah, hot dog and pretzel roll sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks a lot, and have a good night, and I'll keep listening.
Cool. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good night.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. Let's go across the border to Canada. We're going to be talking to Rhonda. Hi, Rhonda.
Hey, actually, it's Jason, which is Rhonda's husband. But I've called before.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah, I think we did
we
did the joke,
right,
you know,
so
can we help Rhonda?
Down to Disney World in November. We've ordered our annual passes, but because we're from the Great White North, they won't mail them to us. So we're showing up on a Friday. What's the best way to get the annual pass? Because we can't check in and get the annual pass rate since we don't have our annual pass, and our car will be loaded full of great Canadian beer, and we don't want to get looted. What's the best way to get it?
Annette?
Well, if you have your will call slip, right? If you've already purchased it, you're just going to pick up your annual pass when you get there.
Yes. Yeah,
so you can show that. They'll see that you're getting ready to go pick that up. So you won't have any problems at check-in. Or if you wanted to make a quick stop at one of the theme parks, tell them what you're doing, run up to will call, grab your annual pass.
So we won't have to worry about paying for parking or anything?
If you explain to them what you're doing.
If we go to a theme park, if we explain what we're doing, we're fine?
I think so.
You should be fine. I had to go pick mine up that way at the Animal Kingdom, and they told me to go park in a little section. And I was a nervous wreck because it was a handicap section.
Oh.
But they gave me about 20 minutes to go get it and get back.
Oh, perfect. Excellent. So we can draw Canadian beer without getting it stolen. Perfect.
There you go. Just leave somebody behind to watch the beer.
Oh, that's not a problem. The wife can do that. She's pretty mean. All right, and congratulations, Matt. Good to know that the boys can swim, huh? Anyway.
Indeed.
Have a great night, guys.
Thank you, Rhonda.
Thank you.
Thanks.
In the words of the famous and fabulous Annette, wow.
I know. I went to mute on that one. Wow.
Wow.
Hey, Deb, I'm seeing a lot of in chat room people are mentioning your cruise you just got back from. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, thanks, Matt. Next year in May, I'm hosting the first inaugural Disney Wonder Cruise to Alaska with the good folks at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And Becky and I just got back from an 11-night Alaska Land cruise tour where we spent a great deal of time checking out various excursions and the scenery, finding out what's great in all the ports, what to do. For those of you who follow either or both of us on Twitter or Facebook, we were shooting photos up all the time. What was neat about Alaska was that it was such a relief to get away from the 90 and 100 degree heat that we've been having here in the mid-Atlantic. But Alaska, if you have never been, is one of those must-see locations. The scenery, the animals, it is just unbelievable. And you can see a lot from the ship. That's part of what's really neat. Going up the Inside Passage, we had whales off of our ship a couple different times. People saw dolphins. It's an amazing vacation, unlike anything you will ever experience in the United States. So I don't know if anybody has any questions. Somebody was talking about Sitka. I don't think the Disney cruise is going to Sitka. I believe we're going to Ketchikan, Juneau, and Skagway, which were actually the three ports that Becky and I had just come from. Juneau, there is just so much to do in Juneau, from whale watching to glacier watching to dog sledding. I thought I was going to be real prepared to tell you all about Alaska, and I'm just stumbling over the words. It's really that amazing.
Wow.
And to see glaciers, this was my second trip to Alaska, which was even far better than the first one. And we're really, really excited about getting the group together for next year. We actually took a few excursions, and we're talking to folks, trying to see if we can make any kind of special arrangements. We're not sure, you know, how that will play out, but we did a lot of legwork to get everybody going for our trip, and there's still cabins available. Just contact the good folks at Mouse Fan Travel. There should be a link on their main page, and see if you can join us. The cruise departs out of Vancouver, British Columbia, on May 3rd, and it's a 7-night round trip Inside Passage.
Cool.
Hey, just to add, for all those people that, you know, were from Skagway in line at reunion last year, you can actually see it.
Cool. We have our next caller on the line. It's Kim from Maryland. Hey, Kim.
Kim.
Hey, how's everyone doing?
Outstanding. What can we do for you tonight, Kim?
I was just calling because I was catching up on my shows this week, and I was listening to Scopa talk about late evening extra magic hours, and I can't say enough how much I agree that they're just wonderful. I was actually surprised when I've heard you guys in the past talk about evening extra magic hours, and I didn't realize you were talking about sort of that earlier set, because we've gone, and when we go in, it's 11 and 12 o'clock and 1 o'clock in the morning, there's no one in the park. It's amazing.
Hey, Kim, this is Mike Scopa. Have you found a difference between the regular extra magic evening hours and the extreme ones as far as the waits for the attractions?
You know, I we travel, as when we do our family trips, we tend to travel during high peak times anyway. So, like, my last trip, I went at, in July. So the only thing that's available for, like, the Magic Kingdom are the evening, the extreme evenings. I don't think Epcot, because it's so close, it's just not as successful. I mean, it's nice. I've had kind of mixed results with that. I think if you want to be successful at the Epcot ones, you have to get to the park at, like, 4 o'clock in the afternoon or 3. Maybe catch a fast pass for Soarin' if you still can. And see if you can also catch one for, what's the car thing that's just popping out of my head? Test Track. If you can do that, you'll enjoy it. If you can't do that, it's a lot of waiting in line. Meanwhile, the Magic Kingdom, I did July. July was all 8 to 9 for the Magic Kingdom. And I did, I think I got a tweet from Lori Abelson saying, hey, we're in the park, where are you? At midnight, I was staying at a monorail resort, hopped on the monorail. I was there within 30 minutes. And we walked on every ride in Fantasyland, every ride in Tomorrowland. It was so much fun.
Wow.
And the weather's a lot cooler in the middle of the night versus the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was great. We did, and it was just one of those things. I think the Saturday we were there, we did it twice. We did even a Saturday night, and that was really nice, too. We had a really relaxing day. We'd gone and done the fireworks cruise. We're walking back into the boardwalk, and all of a sudden I looked at my mom and my cousin, and I'm like, you guys want to go to the Magic Kingdom? It's open until 3 a.m. And they looked at me, and they're like, yeah. And we hopped on a bus. We were there in 20 minutes, and it was amazing.
Nice.
So I was about to tell folks, if you're traveling during times where the Magic Kingdom is open until 2 or 3 in the morning, it's worth it. I don't know about Christmas. Christmas might be crazy, but other than Christmas, it's absolutely worth it, especially on Friday night.
Nice. Cool. Thanks for sharing, Kim.
All righty. I heard I missed how great Via Napoli pizza is.
Yeah, why don't you want to give your 2 cents about Via Napoli?
I thought it was a beautiful restaurant. I think it's pricey, but I think I suspend my regular pricing. You have to suspend disbelief with Disney pricing for food altogether.
I like that, Kim.
I also think that they managed to, if you can spread the cost of that meal out. I think we ordered food and we all realized we pretty much couldn't finish our food. You can share very well there. I would tell anybody who's thinking about going, don't think you're not going to order enough food. It's very easy. A small pizza can easily serve 2 people.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a good way to kind of control those costs. I think the pavilion itself and the restaurant looks like it's been there forever, but it doesn't look old or dated or dark. This is the most open and light restaurant that I've ever been to in the World Showcase. So I'm really excited. Deb, you were at that event with me in May where they started talking about these new restaurants, and they absolutely have lived up to my expectations with Via Napoli. So I'm excited about Mexico. I think it's going
to
be
awesome.
Great.
I'm excited, too. I'll be back in October, and I can't wait to try them out.
Are you going the first race weekend?
I will not be there race weekend, unfortunately, but I will be there shortly thereafter, like around the 5th or the 6th, I think. We'll be having meat, so stay tuned to All Ears. We'll be announcing them.
Okay, that'll be fun. I think I'm coming closer to, if I can get a ticket, the D23 event. That looks like that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, I'm going to try for a ticket tomorrow morning. The Sip and Stroll, is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Yep, should be good.
Cool. Thanks, Kim.
All right, well, thanks guys. And
good to talk to you, Kim.
Good to talk
thanks,
to you.
Kim.
See you all soon.
Bye, Kim. 407-278-5939. And hey, I want to remind all of you that the sponsor for the August live show, the sponsor that makes all these live shows possible, is AllEars.net, your one-stop shop for Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise Line, and Disneyland. All Ears has menus of all the Walt Disney World restaurants, comprehensive photos of all the resorts, sections on traveling, special challenges, and more. Be sure to subscribe to All Ears, a weekly email newsletter all about Walt Disney World, and join over 126,000 subscribers. Receive a dose of pixie dust in their inbox each week. be sure to visit allears.net today. And All Ears, of course, is also celebrating their 15th anniversary. Woohoo! Woo. Congratulations, Deb, on 15 Woo-hoo. Years.
Yay!
Thank you. And we're actually having our fans help us choose our new logo. We have a link on our main page. Go to it. We had some graphic artists come up with a variety of different logos for it, keeping our original logo intact, but just adding a little pizzazz to it, and we're letting you, our readers, pick the logo we use for all of next year. So please go to the All Ears website and vote for your favorite logo. I think we only have about a week to 8 days left for the voting.
Let's go to back to the phone lines, and we've got someone on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hey, this is Kurt, North Carolina.
Hey, Kurt.
Hey, I was wondering what you guys thought about the new lunch at Trails End that they're going to try out, the anti-buffet.
Oh, man, do we have enough time for me to complain about this? What a I am very unhappy about it. I think it's dumb. They tried to change the lunch menu before. They went to, a couple of years ago, they tried to do it was a cold buffet.
Soup and sandwich, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it failed miserably. They just did not work out. This is a trial they're doing. Got to mention that. And, Scope, you actually were reading us before we went on the air. We were commenting on this. It's funny you should ask, because, Scope, you had a little of a letter that was, and it started with my favorite term in all of Disney speak, of all of them. I love when they say this. So please, Mike, if you have that in front of you, I'm putting you on the spot.
Actually, it was a message I got from Jack Spence, who has the inside track on all of this. And one of the things that I wanted to mention, Matt, is that it's a pilot, and I think that when we've seen in the past things that have been tried at several restaurants, I think that they realize that every time that they try to change anything, the cuisine, the way that the restaurant is run, it has to be looked upon as being a pilot. But what you were referring to was that the first several words say based on guest feedback.
Yeah, guest feedback, guest demand. No one's demanding Fantasmic be restored or the lights of winter. No, everyone was always everyone always hear about guests saying, you know, I wish that lunch menu would change at Trails End.
I want to pay a la carte.
Yeah,
and I don't remember getting surveyed at Trails End, and I've been there many times. I've never been asked, what do you think about the lunch? I mean, because if I was, I would have said, don't change it. You know,
well, I hate that. That just drives me up a wall.
I mean, really and truly, who goes to a buffet and says, oh, yeah, I'd rather pay?
Yeah, Mike, right. Why don't you – this might be some news for some people. Mike, can you read quickly just some of the changes that were in that letter?
Let's see. So they will – starting today, August 29th, the lunch meal period will be changing from a buffet to a la carte. It will be a pilot. Let's see. It says that there will be items that will be included. Will include chili, fried chicken and waffles, sautéed catfish, grilled pork chops, spicy grilled shrimp, and andouille sausage, and delicious desserts such as wilderness s'mores and a warm sticky bun sundae. It also says a vegetarian entree and no sugar added dessert option will be available. It goes on to say that the breakfast and dinner menu at Trails End will continue operating as a buffet. And lunch at Trails End Restaurant will continue to be a one-table service entitlement to our Disney Dining Plan guests. So, again, they're saying that's based on guest feedback. They are, quote, offering guests the experience of selecting from a variety of delicious options off an a la carte menu at Trails End Restaurant. Now, I have no idea what this means in terms of the cost, but I'm sure that it's different than it is now.
Yeah. So go ahead, caller. Sorry, I didn't mean to go off on a little bit of a tangent.
No, I was just saying, now we can't do the breakfast and lunch for the price of breakfast anymore.
Yeah, that too.
Oh, that's right.
It's just, come on. This is what they're focusing on as a priority? Come on.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, thanks for calling in.
Come on, Matt, guess demand.
All right, I'm upset. It frustrates me that this is what they're working on. There's 1,000 problems I can think of that are much bigger than the lunch buffet menu at Trails End. Come on. Anyway, let's go back to the calls, and we'll go to Andrew from Long Island. Hi, Andrew.
Hi. How are you tonight?
Good. What's up, Andrew?
I was wondering, have you ever considered having Jack Spence on your show to do like a special on like international parks? I always enjoy his work on the line.
That's a good idea. Deb, what do you think of that?
I think you have to ask Jack, but he has been to parks all over the world, and he's probably the most well-versed of anybody I know on all the Disney theme parks. He's been to all, I think, within the last few years.
I like that idea, Andrew. And Mike, please write that down, and let's get in touch with Jack.
It's definitely on the list.
Cool. Thanks for calling in, Andrew. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thanks, Andrew. I'll let Jack know you were asking.
407-278-5939 is our number. Let's go to New Jersey. Hello, Jersey.
Hello, guys.
Oh, no. I recognize his voice.
Oh, I thought the call screeners would get through these people.
Wasn't he put on the list? I thought he was on the list.
This is, I believe this is the none other than the Chris Eliopoulos of
Misery Loves Sherman.com. Hi, Chris.
I bet the weather down there is good, huh?
My kids kept saying to me, I think Scopa didn't leave because the weather keeps sticking around. You've now corrupted another generation.
Legend lives on.
Yeah, but you may hear in a minute or two. I'm actually outside my room at the yacht, and Illuminations is going on right now, so...
Hey, Chris, have you tried that Italian restaurant, by the way?
Which one?
The new one? I keep forgetting the name.
Oh, the pizza place?
Yeah, have you tried it?
We were going to go tonight, but then everybody was kind of worn out, so we just kind of hauled back to the Cruise Cup and did our thing. But
seems to be pizza night and Trails End night at the at WW Today Live tonight.
Yeah, no, it was good. So... you've got to mention the fact that I was with you to watch the Goodnight Kiss at the Magic Kingdom the other night at 3 o'clock in the morning.
We didn't get out of there till 4 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah,
they actually had a Kiss Goodnight at around 3. It was about 3:20. It was Kiss Goodnight, and I really didn't expect it. I really didn't.
3:20, wow.
We happened to get back to the hub. Oh, there it goes.
But you know what was good about having...
And that's the end.
Well, you know what was, Deb, what was really nice about Kiss Goodnight at 3:20 a.m. is that when you have the regular Magic Kingdom hours and you have Wishes and then you have Linda Ronstadt singing and then you have maybe some music and then you have those... huge, noisy vacuum cleaners going around while they do Kiss Goodnight. It really does not add anything to Kiss Goodnight. But at 3:30 in the morning,
it kind of sounds like my house.
Yeah, at 3:30 in the morning, it was really, really, really nice. And there was someone in a suit. There were this couple. Chris, do you remember the couple that was down in front of the? I mean, there was a woman. I thought it was a bride and groom. They were taking photos in front of the castle at 3:15 a.m.
Yeah.
It was really, really amazing. It's just one of the amazing things of the extreme, extra magic hour experience, you know?
The guy was at the top. She was in like a super, like almost like a dress princess, like you would see out of one of the movies. And they had a photographer following them around. I saw them on a ride earlier in the night, and I thought, this is bizarre. But, it was kind of weird to see it. Of course, meanwhile, the kids were only interested in the giant cockroach that was running around the castle at the time. But, you know, what are you going to do with kids?
Way to ruin a moment, Chris.
Yeah, we're all, like, teary-eyed looking at the kids goodnight, and they're like, cockroach! So,
yeah, that really bugged me, too.
Waka waka.
But, but actually this was, we're finishing up our trip tonight. We're flying out tomorrow at 6:30 in the morning. So, we come back early, but, this was a really good trip for me especially, but, I learned a few tricks. I caught up with Mike unbeknownst. I didn't realize he was going to be down here. And, I learned some, I actually learned today. Well, I learned the other day, but I learned today again. If you ever go on the Sum of All Thrills, they actually have like a card that has the highest rated scoring that you can do.
Oh, really?
And you can ask them for it, and they'll program the ride for you at the, I think it's 1228 is the highest they've ever gotten. And just say, go up there, and I want to use the cheat card, and they'll program that for you and give you like 5 loops and the highest score you could get.
Oh, that sounds like the next time Becky Mankin is down here, that sounds like the perfect thing to try out. Nice, I like it. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, so that's my tip. And I'm now officially in the parks. I don't know if anybody followed my Twitter, but
My book is for sale at Hollywood Studios. So.
I've been seeing it for a couple of weeks now. Every time I stop in the writer's stop, I say, oh, let's see what Eliopoulos is up to. Very nice, Chris.
Say, look out. Me and Steve Barrett, right, with a few guys in the park now.
Exactly.
And the other fun thing was, so we tried out a new limo service, Happy Limo.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
And it was interesting. There was good and bad. The bad in the beginning is, well, not that I blame them, but they spelled my name wrong during the reservation.
Really? Eliopoulos? Such an American name like that. How could they misspell?
I know.
How in the world could they misspell that?
Just like Smith.
Yeah, go figure. So they didn't send me the reservation. I was getting a little nervous, and I called them back, and they said, oh, we don't have anything by that name. And so we figured it all out, and then they turned around, and they took my credit card number, and then they used the wrong number on the credit card number, and so I had to re-give that one. But what was interesting is we thought we'd go crazy on this trip, and we actually booked a stretch limo. And a full stretch, and they showed up with a Lincoln Navigator stretch.
Wow.
Wow. And you must feel like you're in Jersey again.
Oh, yeah. Tony Soprano was right behind me. it was funny to drive up to the hotel and have everybody's head, you know, do a 180 towards the car, thinking they're going to see somebody famous. And there's, like, me trudging out there looking like a tool.
But you are famous. You have your book in studios. You're famous.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. The only one that knows me down here is Scabetta, and you know, and I didn't see Breathless out in the harbor this week. So.
No, I think it's out for the count, unfortunately.
Yeah. What, really?
Cool.
But,
yeah.
It's been out for a while.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Is it really?
Yeah.
A few months, I think.
Yeah, you're right, Deb.
I didn't even know that.
Wow.
Cool. Well, thanks, Chris, for calling in. Always appreciate hearing from you.
It's always good to talk to you guys, and hopefully I'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, it was great that you got a chance to meet Mike and me. Oh, wait. Oh.
Oh, wait. Oh. Well, you know, after that wedding invitation that I got, I figured I would return the... Oh, wait.
Ow. Not that we're bitter.
Oh.
Yeah, they're totally on the same level. But thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
All right, good. All right, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
I'll see you in October, Chris.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. And that was miserylovesherman.com. Great website. Check it out. That's Chris's site. But we have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Yes, my name's Thad from Indiana. I have a ticketing question for you.
Go ahead.
I'm scheduled to visit in December under the free dining plan. And this is the first time I've done the free dining or done the dining plan, period. And I'm also an annual pass holder, but nobody else in the family is. So I just went ahead and purchased the package. Here's my question, finally. When I use my Key to the Kingdom for my dining credit, does that consider it activated for the parks, or will I still have those 4 days forever until I activate that card? Because I don't intend to use the card to get into the parks. I'll use my pass instead.
My guess is that as long as you just a guess, I would defer to Annette, but my guess is that until you use your card as a as an admission to the park, you're okay, because you're using it. That park has it's a multitasking card at that point, because you're using it for your dining credits as well as your admission. So my guess is that the admission is still okay, but I would defer to Annette. I personally play it safe and have it on two different cards, but I would definitely defer to Annette. But my guess is that you're okay.
Deb, do you have any idea?
I have to go with Mr. Scopa on this one.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I can't be a little more helpful tonight.
Oh, that's all right. Thank you for your time.
John, Jake O'Dierwolf, John in the chat room saying the turnstile should be what activates it. So I think Mike said sounded right to me. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. As long as you don't put your room key through the turnstile, you're good to go on those tickets. They'll stay on that. But you got to keep that.
That's when that 14-day time period.
That's when it activates that 14 days, right? So let me guess. There was one person in there that was an annual pass holder?
Yes.
Yeah. Just make sure you don't mistakenly use your room key through the turnstile, because as soon as you do that, you've activated that 14-day.
Right.
You can go back to sleep now.
Line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, Jack from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Jack.
Hey, Jack.
Hey, Jack.
Hi. Wow, I got through.
Yeah, yes, you did.
a couple of things that I just wanted. One was, a couple weeks ago, you had somebody on from Australia, and they were talking about taking two shorter trips as opposed to one longer trip. And my thing was, with two shorter trips, you're going to go through jet lag twice.
That's true, yeah.
And from Australia, that's like 2 or 3 days to me. You know, so that was just one point there. Another point was first off, I enjoy your podcast. I think it's great.
Thank you.
And another thing was, I think that I've been listening for a couple of years now, and like, I think the single best fact that's come out of your podcast is that tequila bar in Mexico. That worked out great on our last trip.
That's great.
And the main reason I'm calling is I'm signed up for the Goofy Challenge. And I was wondering how the logistics work from Scopa Towers over to the races. How the buses run, are they okay?
So, Jack, you're planning on taking the bus. You need to plan to be up and out of your room by 3 o'clock in the morning and be ready to take those buses. I believe the buses will start running around 3:30, but play it safe and try to be on that very first bus so that you can get there, get settled in, and you know, be ready. And that's going to be 2 days in a row for you, because that's. It's going to be Saturday and Sunday for you, so it'll be the same thing. So whatever works on Saturday, you know, whatever happens on Saturday morning real early, you'll be able to take that and use that as information for Sunday morning. But just play it safe, and I would say be ready to leave your room by 3 o'clock. I believe the buses start picking up between 3 and 3:30.
Oh, okay. Okay. Are you signed up, Mike?
I'm going to run the half. I think that the full is still open. I don't know. I might be stupid enough to run that. Who knows? But I'm planning on running the half right now.
Okay, great. I've seen that you've done it before.
Yeah, I've done it. I've done 5 half marathons down there, and it's a nice. It's a very, very popular. It's the most popular long distance race in the world right now. It's half mile. Half marathons are more popular than marathons right now.
Well, yeah. But they're getting up there. Well, I'm amazed at the popularity of marathons now, too.
Yep. Is this your first, Jack?
No, I did Marine Corps in like 98, 99, and I did New York in 2000. And it's been 10 years since I've done a marathon, so I thought, you know, I may as well do Disney.
Yeah, it's going to be crowded.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yep, cool, good luck. Fun. See you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
407-278-5939. Time for more calls, and let's go to David from New York. Hey, David.
Hello there. It's Dave and Nancy calling in.
Hey.
Hey, Dave.
How you guys doing?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Dave. Hello, Nancy.
Hey, I have a comment to make, and I have a question. Yeah, I'd like to make the comment first. First of all, Scopa, you beat me to it. I was going to put in a shameless plug for Team All Ears, of which I'm a proud member.
Yay!
I'm going to sign up Nancy, too.
Yeah, Nancy's on Team All Cheers.
Yeah!
Yay!
So she'll be cheering us all on. I just wanted to, if I may, I'd just like to stress the point. We still have till September for new joiners. Come on, people, do it. You never know it until you try. I want to tell you that my big ambition for doing it was to raise money for Deb's cause and to raise money for cancer. I never thought I could run again, especially at the age of 59. And I'm doing it, and I'm going to do it. And I just want to tell everybody out there, if you just think you want to raise some money for cancer, don't think you can't run, because you don't know till you try it, and just try it and be careful about it. You know, make sure you check with your doctor and all that stuff, and, you know, see if you're fit. And and then go and do it. You never know until you try, and it's something on my bucket list. I'm sure I'm going to get a chance to scratch it off, and gung-ho, you know, let's go and do it. So, Scopa, you took the wind out of my sail, but I'm going to back you up on it, okay?
Hey, good stuff, Dave. How's the training coming along?
It's coming along really well. I ran a 10K yesterday. It wasn't my first. I'm running a 15K on Labor Day, and I'm feeling good. Remember when we talked before, I was talking about problems with my knees and stuff?
Yep.
The knees are fine.
Oh, good.
That's great.
They're working really well. I'm taking it easy, and I'm kind of watching myself and feeling, listening to my body tell me what to do, and things are good.
That's great. I'm actually signed up to do a half marathon in about a couple of weeks to see how my training is and give me an idea as to what I need to do for January. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've been watching you on Facebook, too, and good luck to you, Mike. It sounds like you're doing pretty good with your training as well. Not that I need to tell you that.
Well, Dave, I really appreciate you calling in and telling everybody about All Ears, and I'm really happy that you're on the team, and we're all excited that you and Nancy are going to be part of this, and you know, you're part of our family.
I got a quick question, too, for Annette, probably. Annette, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I've already got my Diet Mountain Dew. I'm set now.
Okay. Here's the question I have for you. Nancy and I are both annual pass holders. Our passes renew in December on the 22nd. I'll be there in December, but there's a good probability Nancy might not be. Can I renew her pass for her? And also, we'll be there for food and wine, of course, because I'm going to run the Wine and Dine Marathon. I may walk it more than run it, but I'm going to do it. And, of course, we'll have the one-day passes that we'll need to exchange. Can I do that for her without her being there if I have to?
Ooh, I'm not sure about that one. Deb, do you know? I'm not sure about I know you can. I'm just not sure if you can do it for somebody else.
Right.
You might end up with a voucher.
I can't bring her pass, her old pass, and her pass card from, our key card from the room, and that'll have the one-day park admission attached to it or anything like that.
David, one of the things, this is what I did. Well, I renewed mine over the phone, and I just left it for Will Call. So what you could do is you could, renew hers, and then when she shows up in January, she could just go up to guest relations and pick hers up. You may want to think about doing it that way. I don't know if you could pick hers up.
But he's got that one-day ticket, I think is what he's saying. He's wanting to apply. But I bet you could take care of yours. You might end up, I think you're right, you might end up with a voucher or something for her to come back and show ID.
That might work,
to get, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I've just never picked up for somebody else. It's always just been for me.
I just thought of something else, too. She'll be there with me in January for the half marathon. So she could probably do hers then if I can't do it for her in December, correct?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That solves my problem right there.
Well, Becky brought up a good point. You can renew it online.
Oh, not if you have that extra ticket.
That's right. Thanks, Becky.
Right. That's the complication.
Oops. This is a rough crowd. I just wanted to be on record. I didn't respond to that comment.
Okay, Deb.
Bye, Dave. Deb. Good to hear your voice.
Okay. Looking forward to running for you, Deb.
Good luck, Deb.
Thank you.
Okay. Take care, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Dave.
Who is Matt in another room?
I'm entertaining the people in chat.
Oh, my goodness.
407-278-5939. Let's go with a WWT celebrity, Jared Crespo.
Jared.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, first of all, I wanted to tell Annette, Mountain Dew rocks. That kept me up through all of college. So, yeah.
Yeah, if only I was that young and that was...
okay, so hey, Deb, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Good. I just never spoke to you. I wanted to say hi.
awesome.
I have a question for Matt, and I want to apologize first to Mr. Scopa because he might be a little bored, but it's actually a Star Wars question real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I went to Star Wars, like...
We just did a whole thing on the marathon, so you could take 2 minutes.
So, yeah, I worked at Star Tours in, like, 2001 back in the college program, and I was a huge fan, and I was actually really sad to hear that it closed and everything. I heard you went to the last tour to Endor. I just wanted to know how that mashup was, the Indiana Jones Star Wars thing.
Oh, it was awesome, Jared. They really did a great job with it. I thought it was going to be – not that I had bad expectations, but I just, you know, Indiana Jones, Star Wars, you know, how really interesting could that be? But really, they did a really funny job with it. I thought it was very entertaining.
Yeah,
they did a really great job. They had all these different, not only did they do a great job of the show, they had these celebrities. George Lucas was in one of the shows, and they had all these other Star Wars stars, and it was really a lot of fun and one of the best events I had been to. So I really thought it was worth the money considering, you know, how big of a Star Wars fan I am and enjoying that kind of thing. So, and the indie show alone was so worth it. I mean, if you're a geek of that sort, it was just awesome.
I think the guys at Inside the Magic did some video. It's up on YouTube of the indie show.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Yeah,
check it out.
Attractions Magazine has it.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right, Attractions Magazine.
You're right. Yeah, it's the same guys. But, yeah, they have it up there, and you can go check that out.
I definitely want to check that. Yeah, I heard, like, Seth Green was there, and I don't know. I just wish I could have gone to the event. I heard about it, like, when it was way too late. So, did you hear anything about the new one, about 2.0? Like, is it anything yet?
The details that I have on it are at studiocentral.com, but it's going to have multiple destinations and Star Tours, The Adventures Continue is the name of it, and it's going to have some multiple destinations and stuff, and Disney released that new video of it, last 2 weeks ago or so. So it's everything I've seen so far looks really, really great, and I'm getting very excited for it, and it's a long way until it's going to be opening, and rumored to be May of 2011, but hey, I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait.
That's great. And wait, it's called The Adventures Continues. Isn't it a prequel?
See, you're a quick one right there, Jared. I mean, it's a sequel attraction, but it's based on a prequel. So how do The Adventures Continue if it came before the original adventure?
It's Back to the Future.
That's a little interesting.
Ponder on this, I shall.
Cool. I just wanted to hear a little bit about that. Anyway. So, all right, cool. So, that's awesome. I can't wait to check out that video online, and I hope you guys have a good day. I'm still listening to the show, so it's always awesome, always great.
Awesome. Thank you, Jared. Appreciate it.
Hi, Jared.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Jared.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Jared.
407-278-5939 is our number, and it was a fun event, the last tour to Endor event, so always cool. Let's bring Mark on the line. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how you doing, Matt, Mike, Annette, and Deb?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
How you doing?
Hiya.
Just want to call and say hi.
Awesome.
And I had a comment about Via Napoli.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I ate there last Sunday, my son and I, and we had a great time. We were on the free dining plan, so we actually used dining plan one credit. They said you could have any entree on there, and then they said pizza.
So what was that? Sorry, Mike, you cut out a little bit.
Sorry. You could have one entree from the menu.
Yep.
And then individual pizza.
Okay, so you can get the individual pizza, which is the $16 option.
Yes. Yeah. It's about the size of a medium pizza, or maybe a little bigger. My son couldn't finish it. So.
Yeah, no, that's the $16 one you're talking about, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's a great size, and then I saw Mike Scopa at the All Yours Meet. So.
Yay!
Was happy about that.
Yeah, it was
that
fine.
Was you, Mark. That was a very hot day, Mark. Right.
It was. Actually, I have a funny story about that. So I was used to streaming it, and my iPhone got so hot, it went into shut off and said, do you need to call 911?
Oh, my golly.
Wow.
And I've never had to do that, so it was hot.
Nice.
I've never heard. That's the second time I've heard that.
Go ahead.
That's the second time I've heard that the iPhone's been shutting down for overheating.
Yeah, it happened during
the last tour. Yeah, I've never had that happen.
Yeah. That happened with Matt during the last tour weekend.
Okay. And it says, do you need to call 911? Are you too hot?
Well, it worries about you, Mark. It cares about you.
I guess so. It cares. Well, I love your podcast. You guys know that.
Thank you, Mark.
And I love all ears.net, too.
Thank you, Mark.
Cool. And you, of course,
we'll
you can always check out.
See you guys later.
Thank you, Mark. You can always check Mark out at the Disney Moms panel. And Mark was just on Betamouse, a couple weeks ago on the Betamouse podcast. So Mark is making his rounds, Mr. Popular here. 407-278-5939. And let's go to Ed from Pennsylvania. Hey, Ed.
Hey, how you doing?
Outstanding.
I'm so glad to get through. I was hoping I was able to.
Yeah, you're hey. What's on your mind?
Just an easy item for you. I'm taking, my wife and I are taking our daughters and our grandkids to the world first week in December. And we've had our grandkids there a couple of times before, so we're looking for something different to do this time. And I was thinking about Kim Possible. Pardon?
No, I'm just singing the theme song.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, We've not done that before, and I was listening ironically this afternoon. I was listening a little bit to Scopa's Vacation on the podcast, and he mentioned it, and that kind of piqued my interest. And I was wondering, do you have to sign up for that the same, you know, in advance, or do you sign up for that, you know, the same day that you'd like to do it?
You Kim Possible, you just go into the parks. The mm-hmm. Kim Possible cast are in various locations in Future World and mostly in World Showcase. When you get a ticket, you put your admission ticket in and you get a time ticket back. And it's usually, unless it's overly crowded, should be within the hour. It'll tell you what country to go to and when to start.
Okay. So it's not a question of having to sign up like days in advance or anything.
Oh, no.
Like that,
No.
Oh, okay. And you
can always ask for another country if you have a particular country you want to do. So if you try to go for a couple of different days, you can tell them which countries you're trying to do that you haven't done before.
Oh, okay.
It's a lot of fun. It's really a lot of fun.
Any recommendations on countries as far as, you know, which are kind of most more interesting? Or?
Japan is really good.
Japan is good. Yes.
China is good.
China's good, yeah.
Those two right off the bat, I think, are the best. Wow. The others are very good, too. But I would say if I were to choose, those would be the two I would start off with.
Oh, and how long, I was reading the unofficial guide that said about 30 minutes or something like that. Is that typically what it takes at the sites?
Oh, wow. I would say 30 to 45 minutes. I would say 30 is a possibility, but I would say allocate 45 minutes.
Maybe an hour or so, something like that.
Shouldn't be more than the 45 minutes. I think that's a good estimate, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because we're looking for something a little bit different, and we all like Epcot a lot, and we're staying at the Beach Club area, so it's kind of a park that we kind of just whenever we have free time we just walk over and, you know, do some things, and I thought this might be a good way to try something totally different.
Just make sure you do it before 7 p.m. I believe that's when they start closing. 7 p.m.
Okay. So should I get there maybe like in the morning or something, and then like you could sign for later in the day?
I would say think about going over to the recruiting station sometime between 11 and 12, and mm-hmm. and I think that would give you plenty of time to do it in the early afternoon.
Oh, okay. Great. Well, that sounds fine. And you say the recruiting stations are different spots that they're fairly easy to find.
Yeah,
they're all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I think they're on the guide map too, and the folks are in purple shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. They're usually pretty easy to spot, and they have a sign out usually too, so you can see them. There's one actually, since you're coming from did you say you were coming from an Epcot resort?
Yes.
If you come up that way through the turnstiles and make mm-hmm. a left,
it's on the left
isn't
side.
Isn't there mm-hmm. someone right there?
Right there, United Kingdom, Deb?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, right, I think so.
Right by the United Kingdom, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds good.
Good. Looking forward to it. I think, and more, obviously more than one person can go on this, right? I mean, we can go as a group.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay.
It's a lot
and
of fun.
And people can take turns holding the communicator. Depending on how bright the sun is, it might be hard for more than one or two people to see it, but there's always a repeat on there, and you can pass it around or change every few clues or every other country, things like that.
Okay, well, that sounds great.
Cool.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ed.
Okay, and again, keep up the good work. We're listening to you all the time, and really a great source of information.
Thank you, Ed. I always appreciate it.
Thanks much.
Ed. Good luck.
407-278-5939. Lots of opportunities for you to get your calls in now. You know, a lot of people were, I was just talking in chat with Danette about reunion, getting excited. It's getting close. December, you know, summer's over for the most part. I guess almost everyone's back at school at this point, or unless you're like,
thank heavens. Oh my gosh. Thank heavens. Sorry.
Tell us how you really feel, Annette.
I speak for every parent. We all do the happy dance and then go back to school. Just saying.
But if you, you know, got some questions about reunion or comments, always love to talk about that. So keep the calls rolling. Then we've got our next caller on the line. I think it's from North Carolina again.
Yep, it's Zach from Chapel Hill.
Hey, Zach.
Oh, cool. Howdy, neighbor.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
Great. Just, you know, and Annette always appreciates if you just drop by her house unexpected. She loves visitors.
Yeah, well, I'm not quite that big of a fan. I'm sorry. I don't want to go into stalking mode.
Okay, fair enough. What's on your mind?
Well, I was wondering. I'm taking my girlfriend to her first trip to Walt Disney World ever. We've been dating for about a year, so she's been hearing me talk about it for a while, and so I think she's ready finally. And we're going in December, and I'm just trying to book a few places to eat that I've never been before. I was wondering what you guys thought about Kona Cafe for dinner.
Oh, Dad, you love Kona, don't you?
Yeah,
I do. I haven't been there in a while, but yes.
So it's a good dinner spot.
It is.
Okay.
I agree. Yes, we've been there a couple times in the fairly recently. Love it. Annette, I know that you and Becky are big fans of Kona.
Oh, yes. And the desserts are awesome. So, you know, save room for dessert.
I'll tell you, Zach, it's in the running for the next restaurant to be called the home of the Scopa Special. So,
yeah. The steak there is fantastic. He's right.
So what do you recommend ordering?
The steak, the New York strip.
Mike, why don't you tell him? You and I had something about a year and a half ago that really was good. Why don't you tell him, Mike?
The teriyaki New York strip was fabulous. Yes. Fabulous. It was so good.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
I'll do that. So I have another question about the monorail. Do they still let you ride in the front of a cab? Is that still happening?
I don't believe so.
No, I don't think that's been open yet. Yeah.
Okay, that was just something that I did when I was younger, and I thought they had done away with, but I was not sure.
Now, they suspended it with the accident, and I don't believe it's been reinstated since then.
Okay. Also, I did get reservations, ADRs for California Grill at 9:30. Do they close around 10, or do I have to worry about having a seating that late?
I think it depends on the time of year, but 9:30 might be the last ADR, maybe, unless everything's open real late.
Right. I just didn't know if there was like a particularly bad time to go in. I didn't know if like the service would be really rushed at that time or something.
Well, it's always crowded there, and what I like to recommend is you set the pace. You're the one paying for your meal. So if you're feeling rushed, you know, just order your appetizer and hold off a little bit until you order your entree. But, you know, a lot of folks, it's a theme park restaurant still, and a lot of folks want to get in and out of there. So just let the server know, you know, you want a nice leisurely pace, you don't have any place to go, and hopefully that'll set the tone.
Great. Well, that's all the questions I have. I appreciate you guys' help.
Cool. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right, take care.
407-278-5939. We have our next call on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is James from New Hope, Minnesota.
Hey, James.
Hey.
Vikings.
Exactly. All right, my question, pretty sure it hasn't been asked tonight. In about 30 days and a month here, I'm headed to Hong Kong Disneyland and then Tokyo Resorts.
Wow, cool.
So the problem is I've been procrastinating, And I don't know any good websites to go to that would have information about restaurants, which ones are good ones, if I need advanced reservations, dining reservations. Any ideas?
Well, if you go to Jack Spence's blog, actually what you can do, it's even easier than that. If you go to the theme park section of the All Ears website, scroll all the way down. On the left nav bar, you'll see other theme parks, and we've got all of them listed. Click on Hong Kong Disneyland, and in 2008, Jack visited, so the information's about 2 years old now, and right. talks about the hotels, dining, and the attractions.
Okay. All right. I read some of his blog before, but...
Okay. I'm not aware of anybody else who's done anything on Hong Kong. Is anybody else?
No. I haven't read anything about Hong Kong. Like a website about it.
Have you done a Google search?
No, I haven't much. I've been a little lazy and been procrastinating. So
that's
at least
all
I've
right.
Very, very simple. Okay. All right. Well, I just thought I'd take a chance with you guys and see if you knew anything. I know it's not the Hong Kong Today podcast. So.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, and be sure to let us know how it goes when you get back. Share some of your insight with some of our other listeners.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yep, I'm looking forward to it. So.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye. 407-278-5939 is our number. Let's go to our next call on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi there, this is Julia from Wisconsin.
Hey, Julia.
Hey, first of all, I have to tell you, I felt like I was trying to make a reservation for the candlelight procession on Thursday morning here, trying to get through. But glad I did.
Thank you.
Here's my request of you. I've got, we're coming down to Walt Disney World the first week in December, and something special is going on down there while you guys are there, right? And I've never been there before for Christmas time, much less
to see
what's going on with the reunion. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Yeah, you want to know about reunion or December or both?
Reunion first.
All right. Well, I'll talk a little bit about reunion. Then Mike Scopa, maybe you could talk a little bit about the December events. You know, the Christmas stuff that goes on.
Yep.
Reunion, something that's going on. It's a fan gathering, and certainly you are invited. I'm personally inviting you. In fact, most people I just say, hey, yeah, come on by. Sure. You, I'm inviting. I want everyone to represent and it's something that I really think that everyone. Who comes? It's supposed to be. It's a group event for people, everyone to come in. Whether you're there by yourself, whether you're there with your family, bring them on over. And we just do these group events. You can go to reunion.wdwtoday.com, and you're going to see a list of schedule of events. And these are just they're events that go on. You can attend one. You can attend all of them. It doesn't really matter. It's up to you. And it's all about really just having fun in the parks together. Because we obviously talk about we really like doing this or riding this attraction or seeing this show and. We thought it might be fun to do something, where we can have a weekend where we could all kind of invite the listeners to come down and be a part of the fun. So that's why, we're really excited for it because it's going to be that kind of a event. We had a great time last year and really looking forward to this year. We're going to have some new surprises for this year. So I think you will enjoy it should you decide to come. But Mike, you could talk a little bit about the December events that go on in the parks.
First off, there is in the Magic Kingdom, there's Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. It's a special separate ticketed event. Julia, and it involves special shows that you'll see in front of the castle and maybe in Tomorrowland. They had a special one last year that was not too popular, but you'll see some special shows. There's a special Christmas parade. There's a special fireworks display that evening. There's hot chocolate and cookies they give out. That's how it's been in the past. We're not sure exactly what's going to happen this year, but I'm assuming that most of the core stuff will be happening. That will be, again, a separate ticket event. It usually begins around 7 o'clock at night. In Epcot, they have the Christmas Storytellers and World Showcase, where you can go around to each country, each pavilion, and there are special storytellers, Father Christmas in Canada. There's the Monkey King in China. There's just a few to mention. Enjoyable trip around World Showcase to stop and listen to the storytellers. Of course, there's the Candlelight Processional, and that's always special. I believe there are three shows every night. Very, very worthwhile. It's the story of Christmas with something like 300 voices. It's a huge orchestra. It's really, really something. The Illuminations presentation during December has a Christmas tag at the end of it, and we're all wondering who will be the narrator this year since Walter Cronkite passed away last year. So that's a little bit of a mystery right now. In the studios, we have the Osborne Dancing Lights that takes place on the streets of America. That's pretty exciting. We also have in the Animal Kingdom the Jingle Jungle, Jingle Jammin' Jungle Parade that's on in the afternoon. That's about it. I do believe that the other thing that you should be aware of is that there are some wonderful decorations throughout all the resorts. Specifically, the Grand Floridian has a gingerbread house. The Grand Floridian has a huge Christmas tree. The best trees are probably in the Animal Kingdom Lodge and the Wilderness Lodge. I don't know if I've missed anything. I'll defer to Deb and Matt and Mike and Annette if they can add to that.
Well, I was just going to add, if you haven't made your decision about going or not, we have Mouse Fan Travel. We've got great room rates, and you get some extras, little extras when you book with us. So,
just
throwing that out there because it's getting harder and harder to find rooms for a reunion.
Yeah, we thought about that quite early. And in fact, I did talk to Stephanie about it back in June. But hey, do any of you guys know anything about the taping of the Christmas parade? I heard, I don't know if I read it on a blog or somewhere, that it was going on between the 1st and the 6th.
You know, I would warn you about that. I know it sounds really cool, but from experience, it's not that fun because basically you become like Disney, like not owns you, but you become like you belong to them for like until they decide they're done with you. And it's not like you watch it's not like you're sitting there watching the parade. They do part of the parade and then they like back it up and do it again.
There's a lot of downtime.
There's a lot of forced enthusiasm.
And you're stuck in that corral. They won't let you out of that area.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So you're stuck. Yeah.
I actually read a blog on that on All Ears earlier today where they talked about how they kept seeing the same thing over and over. They enjoyed it, but my question was more is if you knew when it was so that we might not, we might avoid it.
Yeah, you definitely want to avoid it.
They do announce when it's
not something that the cast members look forward to every year. I would avoid the Magic Kingdom on that particular day or 2 days when they're doing it, if you know for sure they're doing it. It's just not a fun time in that theme park on that day.
When do they usually let that information out as to when that park's going to be doing it?
Actually, I've been trying to find out myself, and I don't know exactly. I'm guessing it's going to be either the weekend of the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of December are the 10th, 11th, and 12th. I'm guessing it's one of those two. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll just have to wait and see. We'll punt. And we'll stay away from it if it's going on while we're down there. And then did you have any advice about the candlelight procession? I did go ahead and make a reservation, even though this year we have to pay 2 dining plan credits for it. But it sounded like that was the right wise route to go rather than standing in line on the, will call side, basically.
Well, the thing is that you still have to get there early in line if you want to get a good seat. I would recommend not getting there. You don't want to get there too early. If you happen to be in Epcot a day or two before your particular time there, you may want to walk by and see how the line is at a certain time that you would be getting in line when that night comes that you're getting in line so you can get an idea. You don't want to be too close because you'll really lose the effect. You want to be in line so that you can get somewhere halfway up from the stage. That's number one. Number two, have you booked, did you say which performance you've booked, the 1st, 2nd, or 3rd?
6:45, I assume 2nd.
6:45, that's good. That will give you time to leave and look for a good spot for Illuminations. A lot of people will go to the last one, and that makes it rather difficult to find a good spot for Illuminations. So I really like to hear when someone has booked the 1st or 2nd performance. So I think you'll be pleased with that.
Good. Well, I'm all about Illuminations, so 6:45 seemed to work real well with dinner before. So,
yeah, I think you'll have fun.
Yeah, thank you very much. Well, it's good to talk to you guys. I'll call again sometime.
Awesome. Hopefully, we'll see you in December.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Thanks very much.
Bye bye.
407-278-5939. Newell, you think we talked her into it?
I think so.
Okay.
She said she's calling back, so.
I gave her the personal invitation. I mean, I don't know what else we could say to her, but other than bribery, of course, which always works.
Well, that always works. The special events alone is bribery enough for, you know.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. Still time for your calls, and calls just coming in. Is there a next caller on the line? Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Danette from Chattanooga.
Hey, Danette.
How's it going, guys and girls?
Doing great.
I have a real quick question for Mr. Scopa. I know he is a child stroller hater, and I am bringing my daughter to Disney World this December. Actually, our first day there is the last day of reunion. She will be 5 months old during the trip. She turns 5 months old. My question to Mr. Scopa is, what exactly is it that you hate about the strollers in the park to make sure that I don't do that?
My question to you, Danette, is that have you been down there? This is not your first trip down there, correct?
Not mine, no.
Okay, so you know what to expect when you're down there. You know what's involved in touring the parks. So you're one of these people who I think would do well with an infant in a stroller because you know what to expect. My thing is that there are people who have never been who are going down with children, and I don't think that their formula for success is going to work out well because they don't have the information, they don't have the experience that you will have. So you know what to expect when you're down there with your child. You know what kind of limitations you're going to have. You know what kind of lines you're going to see. You know what kind of environment you're going to be. You're familiar with the weather. So you're not going to have a problem. The problem is going to be, I really don't like the idea that people will go down and, you know, not all of them will have a difficult time. Some of them will do well, but the chances of having a real good vacation when you don't know what you're getting yourself into is going to be very rare. So that's my thing. Okay?
Okay. That makes lots of sense. I just didn't know if it was something, you know, like people run over your toes every time you go down there or something. I don't know.
No, I have seen, I went last week and I saw children who were being carried around at 2 o'clock in the morning. I saw children who were 5, 6 months old being carried around. I don't know if that was a good thing to do.
Someone's looking in chat, Mike. You know, also kids who let their parents who let the kids drive their own strollers. You know, not a great idea in the parks. Also,
yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the whole experience, Danette, and it comes down to if you know what you're getting yourself into, then you're going to be prepared. You're going to be able to handle anything. You're going to make it. You know what? You have expectations that are realistic, and whereas others may not have those expectations. So I think you do okay.
Yeah, no texting and pushing a stroller. I'm just going to say, you know, if you can't drive and do it, you can't push a stroller and do it.
I don't think I'll be allowed to drive the stroller. My husband thinks that I don't drive it correctly. So I think he's going to be taking over that whole stroller pushing, and I won't have to do it at all. So.
Yeah, I think you should just, you know, almost treat it like a car. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when you're, you know, give yourself, you know, ample following distance. And, you know, if you got to do something, don't stop in the middle. Just, you know, pull over to the side a little bit. And I think, you know, just being a little considerate of the people around you is just all we're talking about.
You're not going to do extra magic hours, are you, Danette?
No, we're actually going down with my mom, my stepdad, and my little brother, and they have not been. And my mom has already mandated, first of all, that we are doing afternoon breaks, which we've never done before. So I don't know how I'm going to be okay sitting in the hotel room when I could be in the park. And she'll be wanting to go back fairly early anyways, my mom. So just for my mom, not for me or the baby, but for my mom, we'll be doing early nights and breaks in the afternoon.
Nice.
Good idea.
Good. We're looking forward to seeing you, Danette.
We could do a whole show. This is a great show topic. We could just have a whole show on stroller etiquette.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never used one, so I'm you know.
That's a good idea. Well, Danette, after your experience, maybe we'll have to bring you on.
Okay, we can do that.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Good night, guys.
Bye bye. Well, Newell, the other day we ended the show with what was that?
I said mm-hmm.
Oh no! Actually, I lost it. Never mind. I had a call that I was going to bring in. Ruin my flow here. But anyway, we're gonna take one more call here. 407-278-5939. A lot of great calls. It's great that so many of you have been a part of the show. We really appreciate it. That and I'm glad you're enjoying your time. Also, it's just never stopped it, which is great. But we've got let me see over here. We've got St. Chris on the line. Hey, St. Chris.
Oh, I got through. Wow, it really is like trying to book for Cindy's. Oh, nice going. And it's a shame that after all this calling it and listening for a while, clearly Lynn is hiding from me. I have to assume that Len knew that I was calling with hard hitting questions about the crowd calendar and
He left the country.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, well, that's what he has to do to get away from me. But so be it. I'll get him in the end.
Nice.
But just last week, I got my Disney World vacation package paid off, so I'm in countdown mode for the end of September.
Woo! All right.
Pumped, absolutely. And actually, right now, I am looking at the Extra Magic Hours page on allears.net. Deb, is that predictions or is that official information as far as September and October go?
No, we put official information up there. We don't make predictions.
Excellent. All right, so I'm definitely working that into my schedule.
Now, keep in mind, Disney does change things at will, whenever they want. And as of today, the summer Extra Magic Hours ended, and they're back to a regular schedule. They will sometimes tweak it a little bit if the crowds are a lot more than they are expecting, but we take it right from the Disney World website.
All right. All right, excellent. And Matt, question for you about the studios.
Yeah.
Specifically about Fantasmic. I'm going to be there September 27th through October 7th. Do you happen to have? Oh boy, now I don't have a Fantasmic schedule on here. But is going to see Fantasmic on a Sunday a bad idea or not too bad given the time of year?
You know, it's not so much about the day or the week. It's just about the schedule and how it kind of relates to what the schedule's been that week. September's kind of a slow time. Unfortunately, it's one of the worst times of the year, probably that in January, to catch it. You can actually pull up the schedule on studiocentral.com. And you said the 27th, is that what you said?
27th is when we're arriving. But I'm looking at, I think it's October 3rd. There's a...
There's one at 8 o'clock on September 30th and one on October 3rd. And right now, if there's just one show per day in September, I'll be willing to bet money it's going to stay like this. October, yeah. Maybe, but so early in October, I wouldn't hold my breath either. You know, it's just something that on days like that, it doesn't matter. I mean, on the 30th and even on the 3rd, it's going to be like a couple days between shows because they're basically Sundays and Thursdays. I don't think there's any advantage of one over the other, to be honest with you. So whatever works out better scheduling wise, the worst thing that could happen is like a rain out on one of those days, and then it really makes the next showing all that much more crowded.
Yeah, all right. So as far as strategy for lining up, and we're not doing a dinner package. You guys have convinced me thoroughly enough of that. But if we're going there, like, what kind of strategy? When should we look to see if the lines are building up? When should we definitely be getting online? What's the plan?
I would say, honestly, you have to be there at least an hour ahead of time for that first show.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say it's got to be closer to 90 minutes, to be honest with you.
Okay.
What I would do is grab your spots, get in there early, and then maybe send, someone out to go grab something to eat. I bring the food back, you know what I mean? So that way you can kind of do this shuttle thing. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, but be vigilant because, you know, the cast members and someone sitting there, you know, they'll try to fill in every available spot for understandable reasons. But, you know, bring some iPhones or bring, you know, Nintendo DSs and pass the time. But it's going to be, that's the only way. And, of course, be sure to go and complain about that because it's just you shouldn't have to deal with that kind of, headache.
Okay. All right. Well, This is a question I was going to ask, Glenn, but I want to see if you guys maybe have a little expertise, an idea on this. Have you all been looking at the individual crowd level calendar on touring plans?
Yeah, they always keep track of it.
I'm loving the way that looks. I notice Wednesdays at Epcot, around that time of year, there seems to be a huge spike in attendance. Does anybody have any idea why?
Wednesday. That's interesting.
It's weird.
Wednesday when?
Basically every most Wednesdays through like September and October. Most of the other days, you'll see crowd levels 1, 2, maybe up to 5. But some there's like a crowd level of 9 on one of those days.
I think Chris Len is going by historical data where most people when they get to Walt Disney World, they'll spend Monday and part of Tuesday at Magic Kingdom. Then they spend part of Tuesday and most of Wednesday at Epcot. And then they move over to like Hollywood Studios and then Animal Kingdom. And they usually do them in that order. And
that's
I think what,
right.
what they're going by is they're going by historical data from back through, 10, 15 years. And for the most part, the navigation, the touring plan, the touring habits of most people have been Monday Magic Kingdom and Tuesday a little bit of Magic Kingdom, and then they go over to Epcot for the night, and then they go to Epcot during the morning the next day. So I think that could be it. The other thing is that if Epcot has an extra magic hour mornings on Wednesdays or even evening, that tends to be a draw too. I got to keep
looking at Deb's information. Yes, the for instance Wednesday September 29th, that's an extra magic hour. Yep.
Yeah. So that usually swells the theme park crowds to maybe an extra 20 to maybe 25% more than they usually would. And I know for a fact that when I'm in a theme park that has extra magic morning hours, that by 10:30 it's like 2:30. It's the same crowd that I normally see at 2:30. I noticed that one year at Magic Kingdom. So the same holds for probably all theme parks. So I think that all those factors, you know, went into Len putting the calendar at that level.
All right. Well, thank you so much, everybody. Good to talk with you all.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Bye, Chris.
And want to mention, of course, that the sponsor for this August live show has been AllEars.net, your one-stop shop for Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise Line, and Disneyland. AllEars has menus of all the Walt Disney World restaurants, comprehensive photos of all the resorts, sections on traveling, special challenges, and more. Be sure to subscribe to AllEars, a weekly email newsletter all about Walt Disney World, and you can join over 126,000 subscribers who receive a dose of pixie dust in their inbox each week. Visit allears.net today. And I want to thank, again, all of our listeners who tuned into the show, everyone who's in chat, all the great calls we've had, lots of great discussion, lots of great topics talking about. And it's always fun to be able for us to share these live shows with you. So thank you very much for being a part of the show. And, of course, I want to thank Deb Wills, our special guest today. Deb, it was like Len Hu. We didn't even know he was in here.
Thank you. It was my pleasure to be on tonight.
Absolutely. So we sounded that much smarter because of you. So, Deb, always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks, guys.
And I want to thank everyone else. Thank you again for being part of the show. Hopefully we'll be seeing you on the next live show. We've got some information coming up and a reunion coming up and lots of other special things we've got planned. We're really excited for what's coming up in the next few months, and hopefully you'll be a part of it. So that'll do it for us today. If you want to find our older episodes, read our show notes, or send us your comments, you can visit the WDW website at wdwtoday.com. For Len Testa, Mike Scopa, Mike Newell, the fabulous Annette Owens, and Deb Wills, I'm Matt Hochberg. We'll see you on the next live show.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.